Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
What a beautiful fall Thursday afternoon here in WEEI Afternoons. Assuming we don't think about the results of last night's Celtics game, led by Joe Mazzulla and company, a game they lose. Opening night, TD Garden, 117-116. They had many, many chances, including, you know, at various points when they held double-digit leads in the fourth quarter. And then they allowed the 76ers to do their best Bo Nix impression and just shoot the lights out in the fourth quarter. 42 points in the fourth quarter as they come back. Celtics had a couple last-ditch efforts where you might think I'd be making excuses right now for Jaylen Brown and why he couldn't come up clutch in the closing 9 seconds. Nope, I don't have to do that because Jaylen Brown didn't touch the basketball in the final two possessions. Nope, it was Peyton Pritchard time. And he failed to come through once. He failed to come through twice. And the Celtics lose. And Nick Fitzy-Stevens, if you actually placed a bet, it was the worst bet you've ever placed in your life because that over on Joel Embiid, the only thing that was over was his career because Joel Embiid is toast. If I'm a 76ers fan and I watch that game, I don't know whether to feel great, Fitzy, that we have VJ Edgecombe, this rookie who had a better debut than some combination of LeBron James and Allen Iverson, or the realization that we have a $60 million former MVP who, I don't know, might as well just be a statue on the bench because he's useless on the basketball court. That was a frustrating game for both sides, I think, last night.
Oh, hey, Joel Embiid owes me not one but two different bets where I had multi-leg parlays that he crapped all over. But that's my fault for not thinking that old man Embiid, who has been toast since the 2024 Olympics, could come through. And, you know, shame on me for also betting against the Celtics on opening night as well. Glad I didn't take them on the money line. I had faith in them. And all I want to say first and foremost is, hey, Mazzulla, if you weren't so friggin' busy embarrassing the media in your pickup game, maybe you would have had some better end-of-game plays drawn up to make sure that you don't gag away a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter of your home opener. Good day, pal.
So you're down on Mazzulla. He's in your crosshairs after this one. There's plenty of people to be down on.
Andy, I'd like to say, though, if I may, please, I listened to the entirety of the post game. I watched our pals over at CLNS with John Zanis and Sherrod and company for basically the entirety of the post game. And he was contrite. I think Mazzulla knew, like, let's see, coming off of that game, not great optics. We blew an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter tonight. It's going to be a long season. You know what? I'm actually going to be an anti-Belichick. I'm going to be a humble human being in this one. He was quite polite about that. Pritchard was great in his post game. Jaylen was. It's just that they weren't great during winning time.
Yeah, and we talked about it yesterday. There's questions with this team. There's unknowns. It's going to be interesting. We didn't ever really say it's going to be dominant or impressive or right out the gates we're going to figure out who they are. Because I think my guy Jaylen Brown acknowledged that. We don't know who we are. There's going to be a lot of finding out about yourself as an individual and then where your piece fits into this, you know, mosaic of players that is the 2025 Boston Celtics. You had Jason Tatum on hand with a hideous suit on, an absolutely hideous suit. The first thing I thought of when I saw his suit is that new Peyton Manning commercial where he's showing old clips of himself embarrassed by his suit, and Jason Tatum was wearing something that Peyton Manning might have worn 25 years ago.
Yeah, I got to be honest. Whoever dresses Tatum has got to go.
Not great.
He makes the oddest sartorial choices of any superstar or any former face of the league. I'll get to that in my 3-point stance.
Well, it's funny because we talked about it yesterday with Jordan, and we're like, Jordan can kind of get away wearing whatever he wants because he's Michael Jordan, and it almost makes it cool and trendy or whatever. It'll change fashion. Jason Tatum is sort of not on that level, but on a current basketball player level, he's a superstar. So whatever he wears should be cool. It is not. It is not cool. He pulls it off the way I pull things off, and that's not a compliment, Jason Tatum. I know nothing about fashion. But more importantly, the basketball that we watched. Okay, so we were told they're going to be small. They're going to run. JB's in the middle of it all. Your guy, Derek White. Peyton Pritchard's a starter now. We had all these sort of new hopes, new looks of this team. And you know what made me know that things weren't going all that well?
The final score?
Well, that. But also midway through the game, when Scal was taking pot shots with Andy Hart and Rich Keefe-like tone at present-day Celtics players, I was like, wait, what? No, Scal. That, you say we a lot, and you say we're going to do this, and we do that, and we're great,
Was he not you peopling or us peopling? He was them peopling?
He was distancing himself from whatever this is going to be, to the point where Drew Carter, a couple times, I think, was caught off guard and like, oh, wait, like, that's not how we did it last year when we talked about games and struggles within games. At one point, Drew Carter brought up defense. The defense is lacking in the second quarter. Joe Mazzulla is going to be pissed, blah, blah, blah. And Scal, like, out of nowhere goes, you know what would really help this team? If Derek White could hit a shot. And I was like, whoa.
Next thing he's going to do is say, hey, Sunday, hopefully we don't go out and throw 10 picks.
That's a little bit what the tone sounded like. And Derek White was bad shooting early. He was missing threes. He shot an air ball on a wide open one, sort of skimmed the rim on another. And I'm not putting this all on Derek White or anybody else. He finished with 25 points, just like my guy JB did. My guy JB, I learned, that had 15 assist-worthy plays. Chris Forsberg tweeted at me, and I'm now apparently an analytics guy when I talk about the Celtics and Jaylen Brown to make him sound good.
What is the definition of an assist-worthy play versus an assist?
So you see, it's a play
AWP.
That's worthy of an assist.
I'm going to need a little more than that.
Your teammate blows so much that you don't score, so I can't actually give you the assist, but if you had a real teammate who was capable and competent, Fitzy, you would have had an assist.
Oh, okay, I get it. So, Dan, I think what this is like, you know, a save is a real stat, but we all know that holds are basically exercise sport, as Kenny Powers would call it. So an assist-worthy play is, I made the assist, it's that you suck at shooting. Is that kind of distilling it?
It's a pass to a pass to an open shot that was missed,
and
essentially.
There were definitely those, because I was watching.
That's actually kind of a fun stat. I think I'm into that.
It is, and I didn't know it existed. I was thinking about it in the second quarter, and I didn't learn about it until this morning. I didn't, like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, JB could have, like, 8 assists right now. That's a wide open 3. I think it was Kata Tillman, somebody missed a layup, and I'm like, you're costing my guy assists. This is the way he's supposed to play. He's going to end up with 20-something and 10 assists, and if you guys can't do your job, then they're just assist-worthy plays, and no offense, but I'm not sure assist-worthy plays get you first-team All-NBA.
I don't think so either. Now, if you're talking about missed shots, you're probably talking Tillman. He was 2 of 8 from the field last night, including 0 of 3 from 3, whereas Nemias Kata, you know, I'm going to give him some post-game props and attaboy points. 17 points, 7 of 8 shooting, and 3 of 4 from the charity stripe. Like, hey, we lost a lot of size in the offseason. Side note to that, I can't stand seeing Porzingis in another team's uniform. Damn, did I grow to love that guy.
Problem with Kata is he fouled out, and if he doesn't foul out, you might miss this game, because your boy Tillman missed a shot from less than 3 feet where it looked like, I'm not a Seinfeld guy, but when George uses the strength shoes to improve his vertical and he tries to prove everybody that he can jump, but his feet never leave the ground, that was Tillman trying to put a ball in the rim. He missed. If that's Kata, you might win the game. You might score those 2 points. Kata was good. There was some. He was good and bad. He was hot and cold. He was what I think you're going to get all year long with Kata. But I think that's what this experience was for me. Is as much as and I'm not going to pretend I watched all the preseason. I think I watched portions of 2 games during the preseason. And
I watched half of one, I think.
Then I was watching last night, and I was like, this kind of has a preseason feel. Who's this guy that Joe's putting in 4 minutes into the game? Who's this guy that's he used, I believe the number is 10 players in 10 minutes. I believe I saw it enumerated like that. He used 10 different players in the first 10 minutes of the game, including my guy JB going to the bench that I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. First quarter, my guy going to the are you throwing this game like Chauncey Billups would? Like, what are we doing?
It's hamstring. I think this is hamstring maintenance right now, injury maintenance. He played 36 minutes on the night. Got to say also, Anthony Simons played 32 minutes, the third most minutes of anyone on the team, yet he came off the bench. Only had, 13 points last night? Yeah. 5 of 10 shooting, so I got no complaints about that. I was a little surprised. Jordan Walsh, don't expect to see him in a lot of games, obviously. Baylor Shireman, my guy can't even get 5 minutes to try a couple of threes. And on top of it all, like my pick yesterday in our Celtics preseason preview of the emerging hero or most pleasant surprise, Hugo Gonzalez and his tenacious D, nowhere to be seen. The old coach's DNP as well last night for the vaunted defensive rook.
So while the Celtics were trying to find their scoring, they were certainly allowing the 76ers to find theirs. So Tyrese Maxey, good player, right? Really good player. So, okay, maybe you give up 40 to him. Embiid's not an issue. You give up 40 to him. They also have, I believe he was the third pick overall, rookie, Vijay Edgecombe, who had, and this is not really exaggeration, the best debut in the modern history of basketball. The last guy that had a better debut was named Wilt Chamberlain. He's better than LeBron. He's better than Allen Iverson. These are the debuts that Vijay Edgecombe had. And when you allow 74 points, that's what the Celtics are supposed to do to other teams. Remember Tatum and Brown? We used to get all greedy. How many 30-30 games are Tatum and Brown going to have? Well, how many 30-30 games are you going to give up to Maxey and Edgecombe? That was eye-opening. The way they were able to get theirs and score. And I saw some of the, breakdowns from Missoula talking about, lazy going through screens and different things that led to some open looks and allowing Maxey to get comfortable and get his. I think that if you're Missoula, your criticism has to start there. Wait, those guys had 74 points? Not acceptable.
No, my criticism is not with Derek White being cold from the floor early. My criticism is not with Jaylen Brown not looking 100% because obviously he's still managing his hamstring. My criticism is not with the offensive efforts of basically any player. My criticism begins and ends with the, I'm not going to call it crap, but lousy defense that allows those two guys to go off for basically three quarters of a hundo. 74 points. I'm sorry, Maxey's allowed to go 7 of 9. If you realize he's that hot, unless the dude is making him from, beyond the arc and, in Steph Curry land, get a body on him, for God's sakes. Edgecombe shot 40% from 3. For Tyrese Maxey to shoot 77% from 3 is bananas. But that's on the Celtics defense as much as it is him having just a white-hot night.
Missoula should have used the defense they used against the media. You held them in check. You didn't let them shoot very well. Luka Garza, we saw Luka Garza and Hugo gave us nothing. Well, Luka Garza broke his face. He landed on his face. He was bleeding. Joe's yelling, get up. And then he leaves the game in concussion protocol and with blood coming out of his mouth. Joe needs to be careful with who he tells to get up and when. It seems like when he yells get up, the guy's actually really hurt and needs some medical attention.
I forgot about the Tatum get up last postseason.
Yep.
God, that was awkward.
But it's fine, guys. He's just a hardo. Don't worry. Isn't he just so quirky and fun?
Dan Ball.
I'm in your corner. You know what? If you do me a favor, make room. I'll bring snacks. I'm not having my most Missoula of love fest.
No, I'm with you. Unfortunately, he had a great roster with which he could work the last couple of years. And I think it's just one game. But I wonder what kind of coaching deficiencies may be brought out for this guy this season.
It's also only one game on a tough stretch that continues with the Knicks and continues through the early part of the season. This Celtics team could be in a hole, and Missoula is part of this. We talked about this. Ted brought this up, I think, last week. And speaking of which, Ted Johnson will return at 3 o'clock. He's feeling much better. I don't think he's quite as big as he was when he left for last weekend. But
he's going to look like all those offensive linemen that quit, and then you don't see him for a year until they go on TV, and you're like, what happened to Joe Thomas?
A shell of himself after a little bit of an illness here, but he brought the idea up that Missoula's feeling some pressure even before it started. Well, if he was feeling pressure before it started, last night's performance is not going to alleviate the pressure, especially the way the game ends. So you guys know I bitched a lot during the playoffs when his idea of an end-of-game play was run it again. Same thing. Do it again. Well, last night.
Oh, with Tatum against the Knicks? That was super clever.
Yeah, that didn't work. Although I will say, they didn't do what their coach wanted, which you could argue is a good or a bad thing. Because if you saw the rebound, Jaylen Brown immediately calls timeout while Mazzulla's running down the bench area saying, run, run. He wanted him to run and gun and get a breakout possession there with 9 seconds left.
I hate that. God, Brad Stevens was the Tom Brady of drawing up plays
and
with
that's
5 seconds
theory.
Left.
I think that's my theory. I think that's why Mazzulla wants to run. He has no confidence in his ability to run up an end-of-game play that's going to win. And that's why, like, just do it on the run. We're an athletic team. That's what we're going to do. But I also think it's worth questioning. Your best player, right? Your all-NBA best player, Jaylen Brown, isn't on the same page as your coach in what is a gotta-have-it end-of-game situation. Wouldn't you think those guys should know exactly what the other is thinking? Haven't, you know, they been together long enough now. They've won a championship together. Now that's the leader of your basketball team. And one guy's instinct is timeout. And I'm not saying right or wrong here. One guy's instinct is timeout while the coach is saying run the basketball. Dan Ball, is that a concern?
I think it's at least a little bit. So the implication there is that Jason Tatum was the only one who was on the same page as Mazzulla last year because he was the guy in that situation who was kind of in charge of executing the decisions?
Potentially. It's just another layer to this weird year where you don't have Jason Tatum, the horse day hoops, as Chris Gasper calls him in his column today, and I don't
still
know what a horse day hoops
get
is.
I
have an idea, Andy. I think what we should do is we should set up like we should put, like, on the wall, or maybe we make a graphic, Dan Ball, like a meter. It's the Tatum Returnometer. And with every game, we, like, move it closer to, like, he should come back sooner to, oh, we think now, like, they lost, so he's going to, like, push his return back further.
And I hate that storyline. I wanted that storyline to hang over this team if they were good, in that he's returning to a top four seed. He's returning to a team that could make a run in the postseason. Oh, my God, the lost season isn't lost. We're pretty good, and Tatum's coming back. I don't want it to be, good Lord, we need the savior that is Jason Tatum, because I don't think that's fair to him. It's not really fair to anybody, and it's not fair to even have that conversation after one game, certainly. But they were out of sorts at the end there. The team that has been Jason Tatum's team for so long now decided, A, I'm going to call a timeout even though the coach is screaming to run it, and then after the timeout, they ran a play that they tell me is supposed to go to Jaylen Brown, which you would all assume. He's your superstar. He's your all-NBA clutch guy with the game on the line. It ends up going to Peyton Pritchard, who everybody told me, he could be a starter on 26 teams in the NBA. Well, he was a starter last night. He didn't play that well. And with the game on the line, he forced it into the key and then took, I mean, I would describe that as an Andy Hart shot that he took. He got, like, blocked under the rim, awkward style, looked unathletic. And that can't happen. Meanwhile, he acknowledges at about his 10 o'clock, I believe it was, Sam Hauser was at like his 11 o'clock, and then somebody else was,
two guys wide open.
Simons. It was Simons and Hauser.
Two, yep.
And not impossible passes, not like, oh, there's no way I could get it through. No, because the defense had converged on you, the little white guy in the middle of the paint who's about to not get a good shot off.
It's a pretty typical play that they would have run if he made that pass. You drive to the lane and then kick it out. You see that all the time on plays like that.
Now, my concern is, A, you couldn't get the ball to Jaylen Brown. That's one of my concerns, because I think basketball 101 is your best player gets the ball. He either makes a play as your best player, or if the defense converges, like it did on the guy that ended up getting the ball, he makes a play to get it to somebody for a wide open shot, layup, you win the game. Yay! You couldn't get him the ball. And then the guy you got the ball to kind of went potty in his pants a little bit.
You know, have you ever played the NBA 2K games, Andy?
Yes.
You know how if you're playing right at the beginning, you just kind of smash buttons and try to eventually get a shot up? That's kind of what
yes.
it looked like. Yeah.
And you don't know which button it is, so you do, and your guy's like, why is he doing the head fake seven times? I want you to shoot now.
Exactly.
That is
who would you
comparison.
Want the ball in the hands of at the end then? Let's say you get two shots. Are you okay with Pritchard taking one so long as it's a shot that's designed for Peyton Pritchard's skill set and not
yes.
the old man lane fumble?
If Jaylen Brown passes to Peyton Pritchard for a three, I'll take my chances. That's what Peyton Pritchard is in the NBA for. That's what he's on this team for.
Jaylen Brown, dribble penetration, out to blank for three.
If it goes to Anthony Simons, he's a scorer. That's what he does. I'm okay with that. If you go to Hauser in the corner and he shoots a three, I'm okay with that. Very low on my list would be, as Dan Ball said, Peyton Pritchard not knowing which button on the controller makes him shoot in the paint with a bunch of guys converging on him. Like, that is
correct.
The Worst case scenario, and we're talking about the second to last possession, because I don't have as big a problem with the 1 point whatever possession. Mm-hmm. That's get the ball in and get a shot off. He got a shot off. It had a chance. It wasn't a perfect shot. It wasn't great, but it had a chance. But the coming out of the timeout, you drew up a play and you, first of all, didn't know you wanted a timeout or wanted a timeout. That's coaching.
Right.
And then coming out of the timeout, you couldn't get the ball to your best player. Okay, so you didn't have any screens, back screens, front screens, whatever Scal would tell me you would do to get your best player the ball. You couldn't get him the ball. And then the guy you got the ball to crapped his pants physically and mentally. Is that a fair description of everything that unfolded there in the final 9 seconds?
Give or take some flowery descriptions and hyperbole, yes.
Okay, so I know I am prone to overreaction, and I have some recency bias. That was a really, really disappointing start on a lot of levels, most of which for me is I kind of wanted to talk about how well I thought Jaylen Brown played, because I thought he played a really nice game. 15 assist-worthy passes that he didn't get credit for, 25 points, 12 points in the fourth quarter, key rebound to get you the ball, to win the it was supposed to be to win the game. You didn't win the game, and now you are looking at a tough start to the season. And Joe Mazzulla, yes, one game in. You're very much in the crosshairs of criticism here in Boston. 617-779-7937. How'd you feel about that Celtics game? Are we overreacting? We'll get to the poll I posted today. It's about Jaylen Brown and his supporting cast. And it's going the way I would vote, and I'm mildly surprised with that. We'll have results of that up next. Also, my reaction to this game was, I'm feeling a little dubious. If we did our season preview, I might change some of my comments today as opposed to yesterday. That's up next here on...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
WEEI Afternoons. A mere 24 hours from Jaylen Brown Day in the city of Boston, his birthday, Jaylen Brown Day in perpetuity. That's leadership right there from number 7 in your heart. Sevens! All sevens. Jaylen Brown saying the right things, I think. But the lessons of opening night for me are many. And they're also concerning. I'm not sure I like the lessons, Fitzy. 617-779-7937. What did you learn about your Celtics last night? Do you feel better or much, 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 much worse about your Celtics? Because one thing I took away from that game, Fitzy, like sort of a 30,000-foot view, felt like a fun, competitive game between two mediocre, at best, basketball teams. At best.
That's exactly what you basically just watched. The 6 and 7 seeds almost have like a play-in game last night.
Yeah, that was a play-in game at best. At best, I'm not so sure both teams will be in the play-in, depending on how things play out for them.
I heard a wide array of opinions last night from, if this team can just get a little more experience together, they'll be good. They'll be middle of the pack in the East too. Yeah, I don't know. I heard a lot of, I don't think this is even like a play-in team. Like that's. That's a crazy. You have too many talented people on this roster before Jason Tatum returns at all, and in what kind of shape he returns in, to say the Celtics can't at least be, you know, a middle to bottom of the playoff rung team in the East.
So let's take a look at the new look Celtics after the and I can't believe I'm going to use this phrase, but the big three of Peyton Pritchard, Derek White, and Jaylen Brown. For now, those are your big three, your top three, your mid-sized three, whatever the hell you want to call them. After that, what did we think of the roster? What did we think of the rotations? What did we think of Joe Mazzulla sort of emptying the bench of multiple times? I'll be honest, Fitzy, guys entered the court, and just from that high, oh, and screw the Abu Dhabi cam. The Abu Dhabi cam on NBC Sports Boston sucked. I had not had a single drop of alcohol or anything, and it was like making me sick and dizzy. And I give Scal credit. I understand it's sponsored, and you got to be the good. This is awesome. It's like the All 10 basketball camera or something. It sucked. Put it away. New technology. Use it only for replays. Give me my regular camera. But I from that high angle, guys would come on the court, Fitzy, and I'd be like, hey, Scal, can you hurry up and tell me who this is coming into the game? Because it's the 6 minute mark of the first, and I don't know who this player is.
Like, I love the Scott, like the overhead cam in the NFL. You know, the one where you see like Bijan Robinson highlights, and you're like, give me this all day, all night. That is like elite.
Yes, and save it for that. Save it for Jaylen Brown blocks one and then grabs it and runs the length of the court and dunks it. Give me that super awesome view on social. Don't give me the whole game like that, Dan Ball.
Save it for the All 22 film review instead of trying to find specific details in a game.
Just don't post it on the internet, because if you're Taylor Kyles, they'll ban you, and then everybody will bitch and whine about it, and we'll move on.
Costing them so much money.
but there was this concern or realization that, this team is not. I mean, I guess it's deep because they're going to play 11 or 12, so theoretically, I guess that's depth, but there's no depth to their depth. Like, I have major concerns about it falls off the map after your first few, Dan Ball.
It's kind of the same thing that you guys say about quarterbacks. If the Browns have four quarterbacks, do they really have one? If the Celtics have three guys that can play that can play center, do they really have one? I was encouraged by Cade's performance last night, but you got nothing behind him. And I think, Fitzy, what you were talking about defensively, your defensive backcourt, trying to defend guards, the drop-off from Jrue Holiday to either Anfernee Simons and Peyton Pritchard last night was maybe the most significant year-over-year drop-off I saw.
Yeah, and we were already told that Anfernee Simons was not a defensive-first or defensive-minded basketball player.
Yeah, they nailed
They nailed it. So they came out of this smelling like roses and thoroughly validated. We just needed to see it ourselves. This just in. It's Simons, not Simons, because there ain't no D in that name. Wow.
Oh, that was a long... I was like, where's this going? But I get it. I see what you did there. Well done, Fitzy. 617-779-7937. How are you reacting to the Celtics' 0-1 start to the season? They lose on the home court. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Steve in the truck. What's up, Steve? Steve?
Hey, guys. How are we doing
today? Hello, Steve.
Hey. Well, listen, I don't know if you don't like what I say, but I think the fault lies with number one, Mazzulla, number two, your boy Jaylen Brown.
Whoa!
I like this call.
Listen up.
Okay.
He was the sole reason Maxey had five fouls. All right. He drew four fouls on Maxey, and with 8 minutes and 23 seconds left in the game, Maxey played the rest of the game with five fouls on him. Not once did him, Derek White, who should never shoot 13 threes, I'm sorry, and Pritchard drive and get that guy in trouble and get the sixth foul on him. All you had to do was key on him. He would have fouled out of that game because you kept posting him up and you kept fouling. And no one did it. And Mazzulla was the first culprit. And I'm sorry, I love Jaylen Brown. Drive to the hoop and get the guy in trouble. He's going to attempt to cover you. You're quicker than him and stronger. You would have had him out of the game. That's the reason why they lost the game. They can't cover anybody. You're right about that. And you're giving this guy three-pointers and not even getting in his face. You're just chucking him up like Steph Curry.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Yes, Dan Ball, because I don't hate the take.
No, it is true that after he picked up his fifth foul, the Celtics were only recorded as going at Maxey defensively three times through essentially the entire fourth quarter. So you kind of, it was working really well for three quarters, and then similar to how the score shook out, it wasn't.
So isn't that another example, as Steve points out, of sort of the hierarchy of basketball IQ, not EQ, IQ.
Not Mazzulla.
Absolutely. If I pay a coach to be a great coach, he is the head of my basketball IQ department. Like, that's literally the job. And if the guy on the court isn't doing what he needs to do, I will say Jaylen Brown is in a new role. Excuse making. Beep, beep, beep. He's in a new role here. So should he be aware of that? Yes. But that's why coaches are there. That's why you have multiple rows of coaches on the bench area. Hey, that guy's got five fouls. You know what we might want to do? Try to foul him out. Because you know what he also does when he's not getting fouls? Scores a lot of points. He's got 40. So let's get him out the game. Like, coaches need to coach. And that's part of the learning process that I think they're all talking about. But I will say the other thing that bothers me is if this team is as mediocre, Fitzy, as it looked last night, and as I think we all think it might be, you know, around 500 plus or minus, I've heard people say.
They're going to be a gutty, likable, mediocre team for a while.
Yeah, and the problem is losses like this are the difference between 44 wins and 38 wins or something like that.
Securing a spot versus playing
in. Yes, this is a regrettable loss. You could have, should have, would have won this game. You didn't. There's going to be other games where I don't think they can compete, where they're just outmatched. Some of the teams out west, I think, are absolutely going to mop the floor with this Celtics basketball team. No question.
Who's guarding Wemby?
Right. Like, there's just going to be a lot of losable, like, scheduled losses in there.
Mm-hmm.
This is a game you got to win. It's similar to how I felt about the Patriots, like losing to the Raiders. If you aspire to be a playoff team, you need to win that game, and you may regret.
And now, considering that the freaking Raiders are 2-5, and
correct,
you're 5-2, you absolutely should have won that game. And the other game that you lost, don't get me going. 6 turnovers.
Save it for later. I'm sure we'll get into the Patriots at some point. We're a football show. That's what they say. Let's get to the poll on Twitter at Jumbo Heart at WEEI Afternoons. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how Fitzy you would vote on this. I think I know, but I'm happy to see these results. It's only one game into the season. You know, I actually literally got a response to this tweet that said, hey, why don't you relax? It's only one game. So I replied, you mean like I wrote in the question, literally, it's only one game into the season. What worries you more about the Celtics in 25-26? Is it Jaylen Brown as the number one, or is it JB's supporting cast? Where do you think the voting's going right now, Fitzy?
People want to say Jaylen Brown just to get at you. But you better say it's the supporting cast. So I'm going to go 63% supporting cast.
Even more. 70% say supporting cast.
Good.
You're right.
Good
there
on
is
everyone.
A strong minority, a vocal minority, say 30% that the biggest problem is JB as the number one. Well, you can't blame JB because the number one didn't touch the ball with the game on the line. After he got the rebound and called timeout, which his coach didn't want, and yet he still called timeout, which is a concern, I'll admit it, then he never touched the ball again. It was Peyton Pritchard time. Which, usually Peyton Pritchard time is fun, right? Pritch please, or whatever all those little hats
logo,
say.
Logo threes,
yeah.
Big bombs. Like,
yeah, the closer to the basket moment. He is, I think the worse he is. We learned that last night.
I'm not going
to
disagree with that at all.
If I had wanted a buzzer beater, I absolutely would have loved for them to draw something up for Peyton Pritchard. But they did not, and they lose 117-116. And I am worried about the perceived depth of this basketball team. Luca Garza, hope your face is okay. That sounds like a shot, but no, I really hope your face is okay. You may have lost a tooth in your first game as a Celtic.
Yeah.
Ugo and company, we're going to be looking for more from everyone, it seems. 10 players in the first 10 minutes. This is going to be a ride. It's going to be a ride this season for the Celtics, and we'll be here every step of the way. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, unless you've been living under a rock, you know there is a budding scandal in the National Basketball Association. It has players, it has coaches, it has gambling, it has poker, it has rigged poker games, it has the FBI with quite a press conference they held. We'll get to that next here on WEEI After.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
That was Shams Charania on ESPN. Am I supposed to know what this is, Dan Ball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew Fitzy would know.
Yeah, you should.
Go ahead, Fitzy.
That's the song from the opening credits of The Sopranos.
Yeah. Never saw it. Never saw a single episode of The Sopranos.
Not a single episode?
I don't think so.
Man, a lot.
Even
if you didn't love the show, it was like that song taps into the zeitgeist and the popularity of that show.
I knew I had heard the song. I just didn't know where. I knew, like, I was aware of it immediately, and I was just hoping it wasn't something I actually had watched and then was like, oh, your idiot brain just didn't remember that those two things tied together. But yes, we have a massive gambling scandal in the NBA that involves Chauncey Billups, a head coach, a Hall of Fame caliber player. Terry Rozier, former Celtic, by the way. Both former Celtics.
10-year veteran. I know. I'm telling you, Andy, wait till they come for Boston once again. Yeah, of course it involves Boston, the hub of cheating.
It also involves the mob. The mob is literally, apparently, still a powerful entity across, was it 11 states that I saw?
Yeah
11 states.
Three of the five most significant crime families, apparently.
And 34 people were arrested. Billups and Terry Rozier are the biggest names on the list. Rozier, it is, from what I've read, most significant charge or accusation. There was a single game where he basically let people know he would be leaving the game early. They then bet the under on all his prop bets and made hundreds of thousands of dollars because he left 9 minutes into the game and therefore all the unders hit. And that's shady. I've seen a lot of people going down the rabbit hole of now doing highlights of Terry Rozier making terrible plays in other games. Like, oh, this makes sense. I knew no one could be this bad at basketball.
No, he was actually pretty bad at basketball at times.
He's scary at times. Bit out of control. Not the most fluid of players. Yes, Dan Ball?
The Rozier example, just so you have it, the statistics ahead of a Hornets-Pelicans game on March 23rd, 2023, an unexpected surge of bets, including 30 wagers in 46 minutes from a professional bettor totaling $13,759, came in on the under on Rozier's points, rebounds, and assists, causing sportsbooks to halt betting on the veteran guard. Rozier then, with the Hornets, played just 10 minutes before leaving the game, citing a foot injury.
Yeah, that's when red flags go off. And
wait, was Joel Embiid on this last night, Fitzy? Do we have an out? Should we get our money back?
We got hosed last night. That was it. We were the last night.
Damn it.
Before
one
they
night
shut
too
them
early.
All off. Yeah, I mean, this is when they have programs in place that, like, stop betting or, like, red flags go off. And I can't believe people thought they could get away with this. But the fact also that this involved both point shaving allegations and insider information, and then celebrity card games with nefarious intent and criminal technology. This is so multi-layered. Ah, oh, God, I cannot wait for the movie about
this. So, yes, that was the Billups side of things. These are basically rigged poker games, high roller poker games, millions of dollars being gambled, in which they had the most technological advanced ways of cheating, which included the card shuffler that read every card, sent it to somebody who had a computer. They now know the order of the cards. They then relay it back to somebody at the table, and therefore the table is obviously rigged in that direction. But the table itself was also rigged, Fitzy. There were X-ray tables.
First time, Andy, is this the first time you ever heard the phrase X-ray tables?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the X-ray table was the one you lay on when the woman comes in and gives you the lead vest to cover your junk and takes a picture of your shoulder or something. Like, this is a very different X-ray table.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite part of some of the allegations, and it's not just Billups and Rozier. There's 34 people arrested today. This is a years-long investigation. As we said, over 11 states, the mafia, so many different things. But some of the technology they had, they stole at gunpoint from other mobsters, basically, like to that. Like, this is the, like, this is definitely a 30 for 30 or whatever documentarian wants to do this down the road. And I would say this, you got to be careful with this because we know gambling's a little bit out of control. And I don't know where any of this is. Yes. A little bit. It does make me laugh, Fitzy, that they do red flag things. You think they're ever going to red flag that one guy in southeastern Massachusetts who literally only bets $2 every time he bets? That's weird. No one bets just $2. Get that guy. Red flag him. There's going to be something going on there.
$2 parlay kid. Oh, man. That's watch out. If the feds, if there's people lurking in your bushes sometime soon, it's not kids that are going to TP or egg your house.
But, you know, the NCAA just allowed athletes to gamble. You know, they've opened
up. Oh, that's not going to be a slippery slope at all, especially with kids, you know, being approachable and being, you know, easy to bargain with and buy out and
not having money. There were allegations in here that there was the classic old school style. Oh, you have gambling debts? We're going to come to you. You know how we can fix your gambling debts? You help me help you. And I just, this whole world, to the point of the hypocrisy, I saw this making the rounds on Twitter earlier. Greenberg and company on First Take were talking about this morning, and they were talking about how there used to be distance between ESPN and gambling, and on the bottom of the screen was an ESPN bet ad that clearly the Chiron guy was just like, oh, I should probably remove
Go ahead and make the, it disappears
mid-segment.
It just
goes away mid-segment. It just kind of disappears into the background. This is, it's unbelievable. And you're not putting the toothpaste back in the tube. I don't know how you fix this because there's no way all these owners are giving up the billions
billions. There's no way. They're never going to give the money back that they've gotten from, you know, DK and FanDuel and BetMGM and everywhere else. Like, no, it's, we're already there. But how could anybody not expect leagues and these players to get in the intertwining of the two and the leagues being in bed with these gambling companies? How could you not expect a couple of people to be like, hey, maybe we can get a little something extra for Christmas this year? You know what I mean?
And it also does a disservice. So you have issues with officiating. I have issues with officiating. This opens more doors to, oh, a coach was involved, but you're telling me an official couldn't be involved with something in terms of a gambling scandal?
And when you have New York getting in people's ears to change calls, and now we've, and studies coming out of universities that certain teams get favored more often than other teams in leagues. Like, everything is I feel like Charlie Day and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with the 10,000 strings attached all across his room. It all makes sense to me, and hopefully it does to others.
And then the other thing I feel bad for is the guys that just kind of suck. The guys that just have a bad night, that then they open up their social media and you get all these people accusing them of being on the take or you screwed me or whatever these things are. Like, no, I just had a bad night. I'm not Terry Rozier. I didn't give anybody the heads up and tell them to bet $200,000 and make a boatload of money. I just suck. I'm allowed to suck for a night. This is a scandal that's going to rock the sports world. Mm-hmm. Certainly the NBA, which is the second biggest fish, right? The NFL is still king fish, but the NBA is the closest thing to second place, and this is not good for the NBA. This
college football might be number two in terms of sports in America. I know we call it an amateur sport. It's
not
a professional
anymore.
Sport. Not anymore, kid.
Bill Belichick's quarterback makes $2 million to stink.
Yeah, but the NBA is the easiest to rig, though.
Yeah,
and it always has been, always will be.
617-779-7937 if you want to chime in on this Chauncey Billups scandal, poker. Every hand's a winner, right, gambler? Nope, not every hand's a winner when you play these games with Chauncey Billups and company. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, Ted Johnson, the big guy who's not quite as big these days, makes his triumphant return. And it's time for our three-point stances. That's all next on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search search for The Greg Hill Show and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.